This video is made possible by CuriosityStream. Get the best deal there is in streaming, both CuriosityStream and Nebula, where you can watch my brand new original feature-length documentary series, Ghost Towns, for less than $12 a year by following the link down in the description. The United States is a complicated country with a complicated geometry. Take Colorado, for instance, which just seems like a simple rectangle. While that appears to be true from far above on every map you've probably ever seen, taking a closer look at this rectangle reveals some disturbing geometric truths. Colorado ain't no rectangle. Back in 1876, when Colorado was first admitted as a state, the legislation which created it defined the state's borders purely by lines of latitude and longitude without any regard for natural boundaries, like mountains or rivers. Specifically, the state of Colorado was then defined as being all the land which existed between the latitude lines 37 degrees north and 41 degrees north, and between the longitudinal lines of 102 degrees 3 minutes west and 109 degrees 3 minutes west. From the very beginning, Colorado was doomed to never be the shape of a true rectangle. Earth is obviously shaped like a sphere. So, while lines of latitude are of course all parallel with one another, lines of longitude all move to converge at a single point the further you move away from the equator. Therefore, from the get-go, Colorado's northern border was going to always be shorter than its southern border. And in fact, it's 21 miles shorter to be exact. Colorado therefore entered into life as more of a trapezoid. But it goes much further than that. When the state was created in 1876, surveyors had to be hired to accurately map out all of Colorado's borders using the technology of the time on foot. They followed the lines of latitude and longitude that set the borders across hundreds of miles through mountainous terrain the best they could while marking it all out with mileposts, but they weren't perfect. Take the boundary between Colorado and Utah as a prime example. It runs from south to north for 276 miles, and when the original surveyors reached the north end with Wyoming, they noticed that they ended up 1 mile west of where they expected to be at. This meant that there were at least a few kinks in the border where they had strayed off course, because, as it turns out, walking in a perfectly straight line across 276 miles through the mountains in the 19th century was pretty difficult. In fact, there are little errors and kinks like this all around the supposedly square shape of Colorado. And because of all these errors, Colorado doesn't have four sides, but 697 sides to be exact, making the true shape of Colorado a hexahectian neocontici heptagon. The interesting thing is that once a border is defined on the ground and accepted by all interested parties, that's what becomes the official border, even if it doesn't exactly match the previously written description. And so, Colorado's border irregularities have remained right up until the present day, but it's far from the only state with such a strange border history. Let's go visit New York and New Jersey next, and specifically, these islands in the Upper Bay, Liberty Island and Ellis Island. Despite the New York-New Jersey border running directly through the center of the Hudson in the Upper Bay, these two islands on the New Jersey side belong to New York. Well, Liberty Island in its entirety does, but only a small part of Ellis Island belongs to New York, while the rest of the island belongs to New Jersey, making the New York chunk an awkward state enclave. So why is that the case? Like all weird US state borders, it goes back to the colonial era. Back then, the border between the two states was pretty undefined, and they argued about where exactly it was. Eventually, they came to a compromise in 1834, confirmed by the US Supreme Court, that set the border right down the middle of the Hudson in the Upper Bay. But it gave the islands to New York for some reason. New Jersey protested this decision for decades, all the while they had to watch New York expanding the size of Ellis Island with land reclamation inside of their own territorial waters. Finally, though, in 1997, they had a new idea. The state of New Jersey sued New York, claiming that all the land the state had reclaimed around Ellis Island belonged, in fact, to New Jersey, since they dredged up the land in territorial waters that had been expressly granted to New Jersey under the 1834 Compact. New York, of course, disagreed and claimed a common sense clause which argued Ellis Island was granted to New York in whatever shape and size it was transformed into in the future. The case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the court ended up siding with New Jersey, which created the awkward situation where all the land of the original Ellis Island still belongs to New York, but all the rest of the new land created around it after 1834 belongs to New Jersey. But this is far from the only strange border situation on the US East Coast. There's also whatever the hell is going on here in the Mid-Atlantic with Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia, which is probably the worst border gore seen anywhere inside of the US. Basically, it's once again the fault of all the colonists, but to be fair, they didn't really know what they were doing. Let's start off with Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. Basically, Maryland was granted a charter first that gave them this land. Then, Pennsylvania was granted a charter later that gave them this land. And then, King Charles II gave Pennsylvania another piece of land that vaguely looked like this, which eventually became Delaware. Now, obviously, all of this land pretty much overlapped with each other in a lot of areas, so Maryland and Pennsylvania got pretty heated about what belonged to whom and almost even came to war in 1730 when both colonies called up their militaries over the disagreements. Finally, though, they decided to settle this issue by hiring a couple of surveyors, and the line that survey came up with was the Mason-Dixon line. Unfortunately, the line they drew wasn't exactly perfect, and they were pretty much geometrically doomed from the start because of Delaware's stupid border in the north, which is a circle. You see, Delaware's border in the north was defined as being part of a 12-mile circle radiating out from a courthouse in Newcastle. So, when the surveyors were drawing out the line between Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, they had to run it from the south up on a tangent line like this, and then up from this point to meet the agreed-upon border between the states in the north. This ended up leaving this wedge-shaped no-man's zone right here that theoretically didn't belong to any state. But Pennsylvania and Delaware both claimed it as their own. In 1921, it was decided that the geometric shape would be more stupid if it belonged to Pennsylvania. So it was decided once and for all that it rightfully belonged to Delaware. But that's not the only strange part about Delaware's borders. Delaware was defined as being west of the Delaware River, so the border between itself and New Jersey runs straight through the middle of the river, except for the part where the 12-mile circle exists. Here, the Delaware border instead extends all the way to the bank of the river, or, to be more specific, what the bank constituted in the late 1600s. Therefore, in a twist of fate, the same argument that New Jersey used to claim most of Ellis Island from New York has been used by Delaware to claim some land in the Delaware River from them. Specifically, these two segments of land, which have been dredged up by New Jersey since the 17th century, but since they exist within Delaware's 12-mile land grant in the river that extends to the bank, they legally belong to Delaware. The Mason-Dixon line also generated a weird situation in Maryland right here in the town of Hancock, which is sandwiched in just a 2-mile wide zone between West Virginia in the south and Pennsylvania in the north, despite Maryland stretching 70 miles further to the west. Now, for a similar situation, let's hop on over to the best friends, Michigan and Ohio. Everybody knows that Michigan has this big upper peninsula that's disconnected from the rest of the state, but few people know that Michigan actually has two disconnected peninsulas. The other one is a lot smaller, but it's down right here just above Ohio, and Michigan ended up gaining both of these enclaves because of Ohio. Back in the early 19th century, when Ohio was getting admitted as a state, their northern border was defined as being a straight line that would stretch from the bottom of Lake Michigan over to Lake Erie. Like with all of these other situations, though, the geographic knowledge of the area at the time was very poor, and it ended up being discovered later that Lake Michigan stretched further south than what was previously believed. This meant that Ohio's border would stretch further south than they thought, which would critically leave the city of Toledo inside of Michigan. Well, Ohio wouldn't stand for that, so they instead insisted on a revised diagonal border from the bottom of Lake Michigan over to Lake Erie that would leave Toledo within Ohio. But Michigan pressed their claims on the previously decided border, and a strip of contested land emerged between both of them called the Toledo Strip. Michigan and Ohio both called up their local militias. A few shots were fired where one soldier was injured until the federal government intervened and gave the strip to Ohio. In exchange, Michigan was granted the Upper Peninsula in compensation and was granted statehood. Further, this line from the north end of the Toledo Strip cuts across this little peninsula in the south, leaving Michigan with two stranded and separated peninsulas of slightly different sizes. Now, there's a lot more I have to say about strange internal US borders and politics, but this video is already getting pretty long and the YouTube algorithm doesn't really ever favor that very much, which is why I already put my extended cut of this video on Nebula. My creator friends and I teamed up to build our own platform where we don't have to worry about getting demonetized or buried by an algorithm that doesn't support us. It's called Nebula, and it's a place where we house all of our content ad-free and where we can experiment with new content that probably wouldn't work out on YouTube. The version that I put up on Nebula removes this entire ad and replaces it with an extended talk on more strange US borders. Further, Nebula is also the exclusive home for my own brand new documentary series, Ghost Towns, the first episode of which is live right now, where I'll take you on a 35-minute tour of one of America's largest and most interesting abandoned communities that involves America's most polluted lake, millions of fish skeletons, and hundreds of abandoned homes and buildings all in the middle of California. California. New episodes will be releasing exclusively on Nebula next year with even more ghost towns. And this is just one of many pieces of exclusive content that you can get on there, with much more from channels like Real Engineering, Wendover Productions, Lindsay Ellis, Tom Scott, and many more. Best of all, though, we've partnered up with CuriosityStream so that when you sign up for them by following the link in the description, you'll also get a subscription to Nebula for free, which is free for as long as you're a CuriosityStream member. And for a limited time during the holiday season, CuriosityStream is offering an entire year subscription for less than $12, which is honestly just completely insane. When you follow the link in the description or go to curiositystream.com/reallifelore, you can get both CuriosityStream with thousands of professional documentaries and Nebula with all of your favorite educational YouTubers exclusive and ad-free content for less than $1 a month. It's a fantastic way to support my channel and educational content in general for less than $12 a year, which is 41% off. And as always, thank you for watching.